Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's right. We have a couple of cool podcasts up this week.
Yeah.
The Arrow and Flash crossover episodes were this week. You can check those out there. You should also check out the episodes. They were pretty good.
Yeah, the episodes were pretty awesome, man.
I enjoyed them.
It was a crazy little event.
Yeah. So, John, what have you been up to this week?
This week, well, I don't know if you've heard, Chris, but the world has changed since the last podcast.
What?
The Star Wars trailer or teaser was released.
That's right. Yes.
And we're going to talk about that a little bit later and do an analysis of it.
How many times would you say you've watched this?
Too many times.
I think I've watched it probably, probably over 50 times.
I am approaching that number, if not exceeding that number.
The day it was released, I watched it about every 20 minutes, at least twice.
Immediately whenever it was out, I watched it about 6 times right in a row. That's like amazing. It was just like repeat.
Yep.
No repeat.
Yep.
Repeat.
Yep.
Repeat. Anyway.
So we'll talk about that later. We're going to analyze it scene by scene.
Scene by scene, and shot by shot, frame by frame.
Maybe not frame by frame.
That'd be a little bit strange.
Yes. Audibly, as well as...
How many frames would that be? If it was 88 seconds long, it would be...
Let me calculate.
How many frames here,
I'm not too good at the maths.
The maths. If I can't count it on my fingers and toes... It ain't
2,112 frames.
There it is. So I don't think we're going to be doing that many small analyses.
No, I'm not going to do. I mean, what do you think that would be? That would probably be, you know.
Oh, I mean, some of the frames, it'd be like more of the same.
Well, yeah, it would be like half of it, over half of it,
oh,
most
yeah.
of it.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. Of course.
Yes. I should do a frame by frame. Like, I should view it frame by frame.
Maybe, you should.
Maybe
just
I might see something.
There may be one of those secret things in there, like, you know, like whenever you play a record backwards and there's like a secret message or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a subliminal message in one frame on there and it'll like give this big teaser.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be crazy. Like, or a big, like, it's a big spoiler for everything.
Yes.
It literally is the script.
It's the last page
of the script.
It's JJ holding a sign that says Darth Vader returns.
or something crazy, like some rando character, like Boba Fett lives, you know, that sort of thing. He's not a random character, yes. But Boba Fett lives.
He made it out of the Sarlacc pit.
Dude, I think he might. Like, okay, so I feel like they could easily explain that. If Darth Maul getting chopped in half and falling down this thing, coming back to life, spoilers for Clone Wars, is canon now. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen the Clone Wars, those episodes, which I think is season 3 and 4, you need to watch those episodes. There's a series of amazing Clone Wars episodes that are just mind-blowing. Anyway, but if those can be canon, why can't Boba Fett live?
Mm-hmm.
I think he could.
He could. I mean, I'm not saying he couldn't.
I like that helmet. It's awesome green helmet.
That's true. That's true.
There it is.
Yeah.
But that's later in the podcast.
Yes.
Also this week, I mean, we had like Thanksgiving and we had a lot of things there. We actually went to see Interstellar again.
We did.
In the IMAX.
Last night.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
70 millimeter film.
If you haven't yet, you should check out our Interstellar review. I'll post that in stayontargetpodcast.com in this article.
That is true. I've also been watching through the Harry Potter films.
Nice.
We got those on Blu-ray on Black Friday.
Nice.
Picked up the whole set for like really inexpensive. I think it calculated down to like mere $4 per like movie or something like that.
That's cool.
And so watched through, I think, the first three right now. So like we've already hit the best one.
Nice.
Which is Prisoner of Azkaban.
Nice.
And Alfonso Cuarón. Amazing.
Oh, man. So. That's my favorite. Well... I think the very last two final films are my favorite films.
If you were to whittle it down to one, though, it would be the penultimate one, like the one before the last one.
Yes.
Yes.
But I do really like that. This is probably third is the Alfonso Cuarón Prisoner of Azkaban. That's, oh man, so good.
That's my favorite one. And it's weird because it's like if I were to list my like favorite films of all time, I think he would show up twice, once for the Prisoner of Azkaban, just because it changed the entire tone of a franchise.
Mm.
And did some really crazy things. Like it was the most accurate representation of some, I guess, like, how long is too long to spoil, like, for spoilers on something like this, Chris? Like, when is the expiration date on spoilers?
I don't know, dude.
Skip ahead for spoilers on Prisoner of Azkaban. Anyway, the whole time travel thing is really cool in that, too. So
yeah.
And like, that was the most, I think, the best handling of that issue that I've seen even since then, almost. So but anyway, and then Gravity. So he's on there twice on my best movies with both of those. Like,
yeah,
spot on, dude.
Yeah, so
actually
good.
Picked up Gravity as well, the Blu-ray of Gravity, for mere dollars.
Yes. All right. Black Friday was good to us in terms of the movies.
the Black Friday gods were smiling upon us.
Yes. Gave us lots of the movies for not the many dollars.
For not the many dollars.
Yeah.
So what were you up to this week, sir?
Same kind of stuff, you know. I think the main thing that I'm into right now is Star Wars Rebels, speaking of Star Wars.
Dude.
And if we were doing a pick of the week, that would be my pick of the week.
Nice.
But
do you want to do a pick of the week?
Do you want to do a pick of the week?
Let's do a pick of the week.
Pick of the week!
Pick of the week!
Yes, the pick of the week is Star Wars Rebels for me. I've been taping them all. I've been recording them all on my
Chris
VR.
Chris is sitting there with his VHS. But wait, we got to have the television on the right channel before
exactly.
It records.
Can't watch anything else.
You can't have it on a, like, remember, like, you would have to have the TV set. So like, if you'd set the recorder for a specific time,
right.
But then the TV would have to be on the right channel.
Right.
Cause if somebody like watched TV between then and whenever you were going to record and you left it on the wrong channel, you'd be getting like a completely different program.
Couldn't you also send it through your VCR so that your VCR would change channels for you?
That's right, you could.
Yeah. So that was the way to go.
That
for
was
sure.
The bomb. That was like the technological peak.
Yes.
We will never get better technology to record television shows than that.
I think we have it. It's called a DVR. So anyway, I've been recording them all, and I just hadn't gotten around. I've got this huge backlog of TV shows, John, that I am slowly making my way through.
Nice.
And it's honestly mainly happening on weekends. And I will just like watch through a ton of episodes.
Just binge watch like one thing. Do you pick one thing, or do you do like you cycle through them? Like where you watch one of this, one of that, one of this, one of, you know, and like
kinda
alternate.
Just depends,
maybe.
You know. So like, if whenever I'm behind on shows I watch every week, you know, like New Girl or something like that, I'll just watch all three episodes all at once. But then there are things like Girl Meets World that I will only usually watch on like Saturdays. I get up on Saturday morning and I'm going to eat
get your bowl of cereal.
Yeah. I either eat cereal, or most of the time it's late enough to go ahead and eat lunch.
Chris,
like 11:30 when I wake up and I watch Girl Meets World.
You know, this is really interesting because it's that Saturday ritual that you and I grew up where you wake up and you watch family friendly television and eat cereal or eat breakfast or whatever.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. Like I'll put on like Phineas and Ferb on my Netflix or like Batman or something like that, just some fun thing. And it's like,
I mean, I'm not going out, you know, on Saturday morning and, you know, watching True Detective.
Right. That's not the time for that.
No, not at all.
That's not the time for anything like that.
No, it's time for Girl Meets World.
Yeah, it's the like your emotions throughout the week. Like you've been at work and it's like you're down, and in the middle of the week is the time to watch these dark things. Or maybe even Sunday night when you're preparing to go back into the trenches of work, the work week. But not on Saturday morning. Saturday mornings, the world is good. The world is happy and smiling with you.
Yeah, you're celebrating the start of the weekend.
This is true.
And so that's where I've caught up, I guess, with Girl Meets World now. And so I've transitioned over into Star Wars Rebels. And
nice.
I'm actually almost done with that now. So I don't know what I'll pick after that.
Dude, there's lots of things to pick.
There are lots of things. So anyway, great show.
Yeah.
It takes place between episode 3 and 4 kind of deals with the Empire starting to crack down on the Outer Rim planets and crack down on commerce. And there's a villain who's going after all the remaining Jedi who are still adrift, and it's really cool. Like it's familiar enough so that it doesn't feel entirely separated. The thing I haven't watched all the Clone Wars, and I need to, but the thing that I have always felt at odds with Clone Wars about. It's like, it's not familiar enough to me with the characters and even some of the locations and the way that everything looks. It's not familiar enough with how I traditionally view Star Wars to feel real.
Well, like, it's that, I guess it's the symptom of growing up, and it was the original trilogy, you know,
right.
It's we're more familiar with that time frame and that,
yeah.
that thing. And it's like, and so a lot of the people who watched the Clone Wars, their first experience with Star Wars was really within, you know,
episode one.
Yeah. It's like, maybe they watched the original series, but right before they watched this, but it's like, it was within the amount of time where their Star Wars was episode one, two,
and
you know, and three.
Yeah.
And so they associate with these planets, Naboo, and with all these things. Whereas, like, we associate more with the Outer Rim planets.
Tatooine and yeah. Hoth and,
yeah, and
Endor.
And all of those, and even the ships, you know, the ships of the less wealthy and things like that. But, like, Clone Wars deals more with, like, the war and that sort of thing. And that's more what, I guess, some of the younger generation will associate with Star Wars. And so, like, once you kind of get into that world and, like, dive deep, I think Clone Wars is probably, in my mind, the best narrative and the best take on the early era,
mm-hmm.
You know, that you have these days. It's like, yeah. Episode two really didn't do it for me. Episode three really, you know, I mean, it's a great film, it wasn't about the world building. It wasn't about any of this establishing stuff. It was just about the Anakin and Obi-Wan. And, you know, so to experience kind of this broader world, mm-hmm. it's really fun. But I'm excited to dive into. I've watched the first hour, I guess. It's like this hour-long event. Yeah, mm-hmm. The pilot of Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, the basic, you know, thing, you've got a team of rebels who are basically the beginnings of the Rebel Alliance, you know, and before the Rebel Alliance has really started to form officially. And you have, you know, a Jedi and a young boy who will be his Padawan, basically. And so it has this kind of, like, this parallel between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke, you know, there's that kind of a thing. I also like, you know, the tie-ins to Clone Wars. I like just seeing the beginnings of the rebellion right down to like they have one of the people on their ship, Sabine. She's an artist, and like on her armor, she's drawn this, like, it almost looks like the Rebel Alliance kind of symbol,
yeah.
But it's not like all the way there. Like, you can tell, like, there's some tweaking to do, and it's a little more artsy than, you know, it ends up being, not as official, you know. So, like, you can see, like,
it doesn't fit on a badge or a belt buckle,
right? Yeah, I mean, you can see the beginnings of this, you know.
That's awesome.
It's really cool. Whenever you go into it, you kind of, like, the way I kind of have to view it, though, like, I guess the downside to it is the fact that it doesn't feel entirely cohesive yet from episode to episode. They're very self-contained episodes.
Gotcha.
Whereas, like, later on in the Clone Wars,
right,
you know, they started doing three episode arcs, you know, and things were very linear and very tied into each other. And right now, you know, like, there is some overall kind of arc to the storyline, and they do reference things that happened before, so they're not completely standalone.
Right.
But, you know, like, each episode is a little adventure of its own. They haven't tied in together yet.
That's cool.
And so I want them to do that probably in the second season. I'd like to see them, you know, branch out into, like, let's do several episode story arcs. You know, that'd be really cool, especially because, like, the pilot was like that. It was basically over the span of two episodes.
Right.
And so whenever it first starts out, you get this really kind of in-depth and well-thought-out and well-planned story, but then that doesn't kind of continue, you know?
Right.
So that's my first kind of hope for moving forward. My other one is, like, it's still honestly really cartoony. Like, it can get pretty cartoony. Like, at one point you have a character holding on to, he has, like, basically hands for feet. I don't remember what kind of, like, creature he is, but he's flying a TIE fighter with his feet upside down, hanging out the top, trying to grab one of the guys, you know, and pull him back into the TIE fighter.
Is he what Sebulba was on episode one? Where he walks around with big arms and he has these tiny little hands that are his feet.
I don't remember.
I don't know. Anyway,
he looks like a cat.
Oh,
gotcha. I don't think we've seen this character in the Star Wars universe.
Gotcha.
Yet. But, you know, so there's I don't know, there's things like that, and I'm like, okay, like, at that point in my mind, I have to be like, okay, well, I guess this story, because this is definitely canon.
Yeah.
Because it's they've said the movies and the TV shows are canon. Yep. For sure. Everything else is getting thrown out except for what's being created new.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, in my mind, I have to be like, okay, if in order for this to exist in the same universe, I have to be like, okay, this is, they're telling the story, and while the story is true, this, like, weird comical way in which they're telling it may not be, you know, right. Like.
Well, you know, and what's interesting about the Clone Wars, and I think going into this show, Filoni, Dave Filoni, I think is his name, the showrunner. He has said, like, this is a way brighter take than the Clone Wars ever was. He's like, you know, in the Clone Wars, he's like, we start off bright. He's like, but then it went to a really, really dark place. He's like, and it's like this one we have kind of structured it to where it's more of a brighter, fun, almost, you know, comedy-esque version of, you know, what this is. And it's, and while, you know, the stories that they're telling have weight and they have emotional, you know, impact, you know, I think that the way they go about it is definitely in this, like, kid-friendly way. And what's interesting about, like, that is, like, early on in the Clone Wars, they would have these weird things that would happen, and they would run every show by George Lucas. And George would ask things like, okay, so why does that character, you know, get to do this? Or why does, there's one point where if a character is like, he's this kind of alien Jedi and he's out in space, you know, no spacesuit or whatever. And he's like, how does he survive out there? And so it's like, and they all always had explanations because, you know, he would always sit there. They knew he was going to sit there and ask the questions. And so I just wonder if maybe on this series, if they have somebody in that role and so they have an explanation for things, or if it's just kind of like you said, where it's like, hey, this is a, they're telling the story and the, you know, the, I guess the details may be exaggerated slightly, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's really the only way I can reconcile it in my mind that these are, this is the same universe and yeah. This is true to, you know, the movies,
yeah.
Is that, you know, this is more of a, like, flexible, like, if you were embellishing a story, and then I flipped the TIE fighter upside down and hung out and grabbed him, you know, like, you know, and so that's the only way in my mind to be like, okay, yes, this is the same universe, and this is okay.
Right on. You know, and I think they will, like, moving forward, get into a more of a, like, a three-episode arc thing. That took them a while to do it in the Clone Wars, so. My pick this week, though, Chris, is a game that's been out for a while, but I actually have never played it, and it's Bastion.
Yeah.
On iOS, I got it on iOS or whatever. I've played, like, a little bit of it on console, but I never actually, like, finished the game. But I listen to the soundtrack literally all the time. Just, like, pop that soundtrack on. It's probably my favorite game soundtrack of all time, probably. No, I don't know. Red Dead is way up there as well. But anyway, I've never actually played the game that is associated with the soundtrack. And I was searching around online. I, like, had this iTunes gift card that I had, like, won at the Halloween party or whatever. And I was like, what am I going to do with this? I was like, I've never played Bastion. Let me download this game and start playing it. It's an amazing game. Like, I have to say, so far, it's really fun.
Yes. How many buildings have you built?
Not that many. I don't know if I've encountered that yet. Have I not played very far?
Apparently not.
I've been just killing stuff, and I think I've upgraded my weapon. I think I've upgraded my weapon, like, once or something.
Okay.
So,
yeah. All right. Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, dude, I love the mechanics of it. Like, just the idea, mm-hmm. of, like, the world building in front of you and things. It's just really cool. The art style is beautiful.
This is the thing with Bastion. I have it. I have it on iPad, iPhone, and Xbox 360.
Yeah.
I've played it in all the places, and I have not. Oh, and I have it on PC.
Yeah.
Played it in all the places, have not beat it.
You've never beat it?
Never beat it.
Well, what hope do I have to beat it now?
But it's not because it's hard. I just haven't invested. Actually, I was looking for a good iOS game. Maybe I'll just make that my next iOS game.
Dude, it actually handles incredibly well on the iOS. I was surprised about, like, how snappy and, like, how fun it actually was. Because, like, I remember the experience on console was super fun. Because, like, you have the, you know, you get to, you know, kind of walk around and look around and stuff like that. But it's actually, right. Handles incredibly well on my phone on this small little screen. I don't even have the new larger screen. I still have the 5S, the puny little 5S. I remember whenever the screen was actually way bigger than everyone else's and, you know, that sort of thing. But dude, super fun. I'm excited to play through. How long does it take? Like, okay, so obviously you haven't finished it, but how long of a game are we talking here?
I don't know. I've probably put about, you know, I would say I was maybe a third of the way done, and I had put about 5 hours into it.
That's a lot. See, like I'm playing this in like very small increments as well. Like while I'm waiting, it's on my phone. So it's like while I'm waiting for something or like, you know, in between like breaks or whatever, I'm just kind of like sitting there playing, waiting for something to upload. I'll sit there and play it. But it's like, I just feel like in order to nickel and dime my way through it, like I said, I haven't even done one of the main things apparently. Yeah. So
well, you start getting these different buildings that you can go and upgrade your armor and your skills.
Wait, no, I did that because I upgraded some of my stuff. But do you have to like you build it?
Yeah. Well, I noticed each world that you reclaim, you know, like it gives you a new building basically, and around the main like circle.
Then one.
One. Okay, you've rebuilt one.
Just one. Yes.
All right. did you, okay, so never mind. Yes. I was going to talk about some of the bosses, but
you're going to try to spoil things.
It's got some cool weapons, some really cool bosses. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Okay. So do you want to talk about the bosses?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Cause yes. I was like, I'm going
to
play.
We should come back to it whenever you've gotten a little further, and maybe I'll try to catch up with where you're at and play as well.
We'll play through it side by side.
We'll play in tandem.
Yes. I like that. You'll probably beat it way faster than me.
Yes.
Cause you've played it before.
This is true.
The learned skills.
What's crazy about this week, John?
Yeah.
Is that we also have some news.
So, but wait, there's more. Not one, but two segments before the main segment.
This is true. The news!
The news!
So, John, you know how much I love The Walking Dead.
Yes.
I watch it every week.
I do.
I fall behind a couple times, sometimes.
Usually every season you fall behind at least once.
Yeah. And I'll get like max like 3 episodes behind and I'll have to catch up because you know, like, life happens, you know?
And Chris, you know me that I usually wait. It's my October thing.
Like, that's true.
So I wait until it comes out to like Netflix or to, you know, whatever. And then I binge watch. I basically just suck it up and enjoy the pain for however long it lasts as I watch.
So I'm 2 episodes behind.
Okay. That's not that far.
Including the mid-season finale.
Okay.
And something terrible has happened.
What has happened?
Sunday night,
mm-hmm.
I sit down on my couch. I pull out my phone.
Oh, no.
And I'm scrolling through. Hey, let's get on Facebook. What are my friends up to? Oh, my gosh. And I see something from The Walking Dead.
So you were spoiled.
I was
so
spoiled, John.
They didn't exercise the amount of care that we do on the podcast.
Nope.
Where they give you a spoiler warning, a spoiler clock, they put in all caps, spoiler!
Let me tell you what has happened, okay?
I looked down. Don't spoil me.
Nothing says, no, I won't spoil
this. This is a no-spoiler conversation.
This is no spoiler. The, on my timeline, at 9:06, literally 6 minutes after the episode has finished airing on the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
okay? So it hasn't even aired on the West Coast
mm-hmm.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they post a huge, gigantic spoiler with a picture on their Facebook page, six minutes.
So, in their defense, 6 minutes sometimes on The Walking Dead, it's like you just got to get it out, man.
You can't. This is uncalled for.
No, that's pretty terrible.
This is ridiculous.
There's no reason for that.
No, especially in today's TV watching landscape where people delay and binge watch
like me.
Exactly, like you. And I just was like, okay, well, I'm gonna have to watch this. Honestly, I was gonna watch it this week. I don't have a desire to right now because I'm still angry.
So so there's only one type of spoiler that matters with The Walking Dead.
You tell me what type of spoiler you think it was.
The only type that matters on Walking Dead, like anything else can happen. I don't care what it is.
Yes.
You can discover, you know, the source of the zombie, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
Like, I can know that. Doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is when people die. That's
correct.
The only thing that matters. Those are the only types of spoilers that in this show actually carry weight to ruin something.
Yep. I look down at my Facebook feed and it says, RIP blank. And it has a picture.
You've got to be kidding me.
Nope.
Like, not even like with the care to be like, I can't believe that just happened.
Nope.
You know?
It's basically like, well, this just happened.
Oh, dude, that's just so cold.
So not only do I know that something's coming, which is bad, but I also know who it is.
Yeah.
So then it's like, this is awful.
Well, I mean, that's the world we live in right now, where it's like, even to the point where like movies these days, like plot points are like being leaked and spoiled and crap.
You know, I can forgive all that because it's like, okay, it's leaked and spoiled. And most of the time, you know, like it's just said in news articles where they warn you. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not put out by the social media presence of the show.
Yeah.
Like if Lost, spoilers for Lost, before the, like minutes after the finale had posted, guess what? They're all dead.
That would have ruined it. It was purgatory after all.
It would have ruined it.
It would have ruined
and
it.
And they wouldn't have done that. Nope. Like,
so wait, this was the social media of the actual show?
It's the official Facebook
page.
Wait,
you've got to be kidding me.
No.
No way.
AMC has put out an apology.
No way.
And said, we're sorry. We've taken it down off of, they apparently also put it on Twitter.
Oh, thanks.
Their official Walking Dead Twitter page.
Thanks, guys.
Twitter feed. And so they said, well, we've taken it down. We're sorry. This will never happen again. We're sorry.
Dude, like, here's the thing is, like, sometimes whenever I'm, like, live tweeting shows, like, Arrow, like, because we do the podcast, a lot of times I'll, like, live tweet Arrow or Flash.
Yeah.
I like, worry about some of the implications of my live tweeting because I'm watching on the East Coast, like, airing.
Right.
And some of the West Coast people or whatever, I have followers who are, like, on the West Coast, and I kind of worry sometimes about them. And so I try to avoid the biggest things.
Right.
You know, even whenever something big happens or whatever, a lot of times they'll just be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe, you know. Yeah. Or, like, you'll comment on it without actually saying what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
Well, you know, the thing is, I know to stay off of Twitter whenever whenever these large events are happening because that's the place for this.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't on Twitter. You know, like people will live tweet things, you know, like I know like Twitter is the place for instant reactions.
Yeah. It's just that knee jerk thing, man.
Exactly. And I don't care honestly if they put it there because like everyone knows that that's what Twitter's all about.
Yeah.
But Facebook's where I want to go see what my great aunt's doing. Who has passed away on The Walking Dead.
Right, and you're like, you're more judicious about who you let in the door on your Facebook.
That's true, you know?
Yeah.
You let in the official page.
Yeah.
Because you think that they have some level of decorum.
Or you a lot of times, like you don't even let you go and like the show, where you're like, hey, I want my friends and family to know that I like this show.
Yeah, so I like it.
But like, you don't necessarily expect them to share with you these gigantic spoilers. That's terrible, Chris.
It was terrible.
I grieve for the loss of your... I guess unspoiledness in this matter.
Yeah, it was stolen.
Like
from
they
me.
Took this away from you.
They took it.
They took the enjoyment of that the 2 hours of television away from you.
This is true. In other news, the new Terminator Genesis trailer has been released. We will post this in the notes on standtargetpodcast.com. It's pretty much every single Terminator movie smashed together into one.
For better or worse.
Yep.
It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Emilia Clarke.
Yep, and it's got a lot of crazy action. At first, I was like, wait, is this the sequel to, what was the one with...
Terminator...
What was the one with Christian Bale?
Yeah, that McG directed.
Yeah. Terminator Salvation. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was the sequel to that. But no, this is like a reboot of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're basically taking the timeline, you know, pulling a Star Trek, J.J. Abrams Star Trek, and, like, this is an entirely new timeline, things have been jacked up, like, the other ones still exist in some way, but something has happened and so that this world has been altered. The thing is, I really, really like all the actors and actresses involved, you know, we've got, obviously, Arnold Schwarzenegger's coming back. We've got Emilia Clarke. She was on Game of Thrones. Jay Courtney, who's going to be the new... he's going to be in the Suicide Squad, and he's been on, you know, Die Hard and things like that. We've also got Jason Clarke, who's in the latest Planet of the Apes movie. Good actors, okay? It's just it's a crazy storyline, dude. Like, it's going to... I think it's going to be a mess. It's just going to be a mess of a story.
Yeah, it either results in like a Fast and the Furious style blockbuster action hit.
Yeah.
Or it results in the most convoluted bowl of spaghetti that you've ever watched on screen.
The one of my friends put it well. He said, "I'm the little boy inside of me is unbelievably excited, but the film critic is like, what the heck?"
I don't even know. Like, whenever I watched it, I was just watching it and I go, I'm confused, and it's only the trailer.
Yeah. this is the thing. The problem is, I think, in the writing. You know, like, the director is a good director. He's directed Thor. He's directed some Game of Thrones, Boardwalk Empire. The writers, on the other hand, have, like, barely any credits to their name.
Hmm.
And it's not even good credits. And
I mean, what's interesting about those films in the first place is that how they deal with, like, time and, like, how they are going back to change things.
Yeah.
And so to say, you know, and it's always been kind of that idea, why didn't you send it back farther?
Well,
like, and why didn't you send that person back farther? Why don't you? And so, like, there's all of this stuff about the timeline of this, like, series.
Yeah.
That it, if they try to go do this, like, it makes sense for them to do this. It makes sense within, I guess, the idea that we're going back to change things. It makes sense for them to go back to change things, but that's just going to get crazy.
Yeah.
It's like you're talking about the complexity of a multiverse times like 1,000 because you've done this 4 or 5 times now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're dealing with multiple, like, Arnold Schwarzeneggers via the trailer and, like, all of that craziness.
Yeah.
What in the world?
Who knows, dude? It's going to be a hot mess for sure. But I will go see it.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. The Avengers 3 and 4
are
shooting back to back in 2015.
Dude, that blows my mind. But that's the way people have been doing, like, big movies these days, is like The Hobbit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing that. I mean, I think that James Cameron's doing that with the next 3 Avatars.
Right.
Which, if anyone cares about the next trilogy of Avatars,
yeah.
Which makes it a weird number of 4 total movies.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, there's going to be 4 Avengers movies by the time we're done. This is what's crazy. It's like, you know, the first one, I guess, comes out in 2018. And then the other one comes out in 2020, you know? So, like, I mean, we're shooting something now that's going to come out, or I think it was 20, was it 20 or 21? I can't remember. It's going to come out years from now.
Yeah.
Like, and it's honestly, I think it's going to be shot before they shoot
Captain America?
Civil War.
Ah.
Captain America Civil War, which is going to be have huge implications for the universe as well.
So how do they keep, like we were talking about, like, spoilers earlier, how do they keep the plot line of this movie in?
No idea.
For all that time? Like, it's hard to do it in a couple of months.
Yeah, no idea. Like, and that's what's crazy is, like, the Civil War movie is going to change the Marvel Universe, like, and it's in the middle of it was after Avengers 2, before Avengers 3. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, they have a lot to keep secret and keep the lid on.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
It's true. It also, like, it makes me think that, you know, maybe they're filming it in this order to get it in. I don't know if, like, there's somewhere in the contracts, you know, like, they have a certain number of films with these people in their contracts. If they shoot them all at once, does that constitute one film as in their contract, or does that constitute 2 just because they divide it up later or they plan to, you know, it's a part 1, part 2.
That's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting way to think about it. It's also, I mean, obviously, like, we have contracts with a lot of these characters. So it's like, some people would say, are there true spoilers about who lives and who dies anymore? Because you've got, you know, contracts and you can see how many movies they're dedicated to and that sort of thing. But maybe there's characters that are in the flashbacks of one, but aren't necessarily in that one, but they die. I don't know. They die in the Civil War, but they're, you know.
Right,
so,
yeah. What constitutes a film in that point?
Right. And it's like, and so are they just tagging this on then because of that maybe? I don't know. It's a weird thought.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. You know, like, I also think, like, well, maybe, you know, you think about, like, Robert Downey Jr., who's you know, on a film-to-film basis now. Like, can they get him cheaper if they shoot it all at once? Like, okay, well, I would ask for $50 million per movie, but if we shoot it all at once and I don't have to use up, you know, an incredible amount of my time, I'll do it for $80 million. You know, like, do those kind of conversations and deals take place?
I mean, it would make sense if they, like, that they do, because I mean, if he's already dedicated to another movie per se, and he's like, well, I've got to do that in this series. Like, I can't do another Marvel movie until this time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get it in before I go to this other movie, I'll do it.
Yeah, schedules, you know, definitely play a part in it, I think. I also wonder, like, you know, speaking of Robert Downey Jr., you know, you want to get the you know, the big Avengers film done. Like, this is the end of Phase 3.
Right.
Get that done, and then we'll do Captain America 3, which will include Iron Man in it for the Civil War. You know, and, you know, get the big one out of the way first, though, before you do that. You know, I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of things at play here. Honestly, though, you know, like, it's only 3 years before it has to come out. So, like, you know, the first one, at least. I mean, they've got to do a lot of post-production on it. And so it's not unheard of. You know, you start production, you know, 3 years ahead of the release date.
Well, you look at, like, I mean, I feel like some movies are relatively quick, like Star Wars, for example. It's like, when did Disney buy, I mean, that was like last year that they bought.
That was 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2 years
ago. Okay, so I mean, like, then they started production like last year.
Yeah.
And so that'll be like a 3 year turnaround or whatever. So like, that's not very long. I mean, that's a long time, but it's really, that's not a long time.
Right.
So it's like, if we're only 3 years out, maybe filming back to back is a good thing. It's also interesting that they're taking a cue from maybe the Peter Jackson, Hobbit, and the like, Lord of the Rings, and things like that as well, because to film things back to back like that, it gives you a cohesiveness. So if they're doing maybe a cliffhanger, or if they're doing something where it has a continuing storyline or something like that, having the same aesthetic, having the same team that knows their stuff and the same, you know, same everything, might be desirable in that instance. So like, it could work better plot wise for them to film them both at the same time. Like, that could be interesting as well.
That's true. We have some other news. The final piece of news item is the Suicide Squad has been confirmed.
Confirmed.
All right. So we talked about this on a previous podcast, so we won't go into like a lot of
in-depth rehash.
Yeah. I'll post that if I can find it on Stan. I'm sure I can find it.
Yeah, it's like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Stan, it was during movie month or something.
StanTargetPodcast.com, where we talk about, and because they're all confirmed basically now. We talked about all these. Jared Leto is the Joker. Will Smith is Deadshot. Tom Hardy is Rick Flagg. Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn. Jay Courtney is Boomerang. And Cara Delevingne is the Enchantress.
Super cool, man.
All of these. I'm pumped about all of these. The other one that's not confirmed is Amanda Waller, and there's rumors that they're trying to get Winfrey.
That's right. That would be crazy. But it's like, Amanda Waller is such an intense character. Can Oprah really do an intense character, like a mean character?
I think she can.
You
like,
think?
Yeah. I don't consider Oprah Winfrey an actor per se. Okay.
She's a personality.
She's a personality. She does an adequate job at acting. But I think in the right context, she could do a good job. And she is a powerful woman.
Yeah.
And if she were yelling at me, I would be frightened.
Dude, it would be intense. If she gets this role and they do it right, it would be very intense. I would love it. You know, it's like, I would eat up every minute of that.
I'll tell you, like, my only concern is honestly with Will Smith. And can he play in the background and play a supporting role enough so that this doesn't become a Will Smith movie?
You know, and he was in Hancock. As a lead character, exactly. And so, I mean, I don't know, as far as like an effects-driven thing, I don't think that's going to be a problem for him.
No, it's
like
not an effects thing.
No, I'm just thinking like about all the implications of him
being there.
I'm
saying, what movie has he been in recently where he's not the lead character?
That's true. Well, I mean, and what movie has he been in recently that has really just blown you out of the water, you know? I mean, there's been the last one that I can remember of. What's the one with him and his son?
With his son? That didn't do well, though. After Earth?
Oh, no, not that one. I hadn't even thought about that one. I was thinking about the one that won, like, Oscars and stuff like that back in, like, it was years
Pursuit
ago.
Of Happiness?
Yes, that's the one. But that was a long time ago. But that's the last one that I can think of that really, like, blew me away.
I mean, he was in that, and around the same time, he was in I Am Legend.
Yeah.
It was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
You know, but in all those, he's the leading man.
And a very, like, big personality in all of those.
Yeah.
Like, he fills up the screen and fills up a lot of the time and things like that. So.
And he may be in, it just depends on how they use the Joker in this. So, like, I think—
Who's directing it? Do we know?
David Ayer.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I'm confident in the direction of it. It's a question of, like, as far as story, if, you know, we know Jared Leto's the Joker, the Joker was never in the Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it depends on how they're using the Joker. Is the Joker the lead character? Because, you know, as they bill it, you know, with Jared Leto first, it sounds like, you know, he's at least a prominent character. Are they using him? Is the Suicide Squad trying to take the Joker out? Is he the villain and the Suicide Squad is basically the quote-unquote heroes?
So also, when do you introduce the Joker into this universe? It's like we've already got our, you know, we're going to have our Batman and we're going to have our Superman. But it's, I don't see the Joker being really introduced necessarily without the Batman. Like, I mean,
well,
there are arch villains.
There was some news later this week that Batman versus Superman will possibly have some villain cameos, or at least call outs in that movie. And so I think they'll, you know, any groundwork that they're, this movie is all groundwork. We know it is because it's Dawn of Justice. It's laying the groundwork for the Justice League movie, the other spinoff movies, and for the world of Batman. I think it's also a test to see how well Batman will do on the big screen again, you know, because, and if he does well, they'll do another Batman movie.
Yeah.
So I think any groundwork that needs to be laid for Suicide Squad will happen in Batman versus Superman.
So, like, I'm okay with that. The other thing is, like, maybe I would hope this isn't necessarily what it is, but maybe he's in this because they need to introduce the character of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And in order to do so, like, her backstory is kind of tied to the Joker, like, because, you know, she used to be a doctor at Arkham Asylum and all this stuff. And so I don't know, maybe the thing that I hope they don't do is just introduce him into this movie as like a reason for her being there.
Right. I don't think they will.
You know?
Like that
feels cheap to me.
The way that they're announcing this and they're announcing it with his name first, like that doesn't seem like it's the case. You know, he's not just going to be some like backstory device in order to, you know, create motivation for her to be the character she is.
And I'm fine like having her as a character on her own or whatever, but it's like I just would hate to see this turn into like some sort of a weird where he's not starring in it and they're billing him as the star, like the Joker is, because that's a fairly big deal. It's like everybody knows the Joker.
That's what I'm saying. Like the roles that I'm most excited for are Jared Leto as the Joker. I love Jared Leto. You know, did a great job last year in Dallas Buyers Club. He's a great actor, you know, mm-hmm. Oscar winner. And so I'm really excited about seeing him. I'm honestly more excited about seeing a live-action portrayal of Harley Quinn.
Agreed.
And I think Margot Robbie is the perfect person. You know, I know there were other options. The girl from The Hunger Games, Jenna Malone, you know, like...
Yeah.
I think
this is the best option, though.
Well, like, you know, so like, you know, let's take Jenna Malone, for instance. I think she would have done a good job as Harley Quinn. She would have been would have been able to portray the cartoon aspect of Harley Quinn, you know, with the crazy voice and being kind of crazy. But I think that Margot Robbie can bring a realism to the character where you believe that this character actually exists. Because, I mean, Harley's a pretty outrageous character.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets pretty insane, especially like in some of the Arkham games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know... having a good actress that can bring an edge of realism to the crazy is a good thing.
Well, that's the kind of the direction that they're going with this whole new thing, is like the gritty realism, you know, and that sort of thing. That's what DC is kind of going after these days with their movies. And so, I mean, for them to cast her as this, it's not a surprise. I kind of hope they do lean more towards at least the look because even in like with the Arkham games or something like that, while it is grittier or whatever, it, like you said, it gets pretty outrageous as far as like that sort of thing. And visualization on that, it gets really weird. I almost hope they lean more towards like the original, whenever she was originally brought into the animated series.
Yeah.
And lean more towards like that type of at least the visuals on her. But then again, hang on. We might actually, because like the Joker had never been portrayed like Heath Ledger did.
Right.
And he just like came in and completely basically redid that, what we think of that character. So it's like, it could be something like that too, where she just completely comes in and redoes everything that we know about this character, and I'd be okay with that too.
Right, and like I said, I'm not opposed to any of it. I just, you know, like, you know, you think about, like, whenever you think of Harley Quinn, you're like, you know, the crazy voice. It's like, hello, Mr. J, and like, yeah, that kind of stuff. And like, I don't know if that's what we need. That's not necessarily right, a realistic portrayal. I think she could do a cool, crazy voice.
Yeah.
And wear the white makeup and it, oh, yeah, make it realistic. But oh, yeah, it takes a good a certain kind of actress to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But so, I'm super excited, dude.
I'm excited about it. I mean, we'll see how everything shakes out whenever Batman versus Superman comes out, and see how we set up the pins for all of these movies that they're supposedly going to make.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I still think it's crazy that we got this many good actors on the same movie, dude. You got Tom Hardy and Will Smith.
Dropping a lot of money.
Yeah, dude. And it's super, super, super exciting. And that's the news.
All right, Chris, we are about to watch and walk everyone through scene by scene, the Star Wars The Force Awakens,
yes,
trailer. All right, here we go.
All right.
So the following preview has been approved. Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's that green screen. All right, so blackness.
Yeah, blackness. We hear a voice. Oh, wait, no, there's no voice. We see Tatooine.
We assume it's Tatooine, though.
I mean, it's got to be Tatooine.
Yeah, it's got to be.
The thing, let's pause it right here. The thing, yeah, that excites me about this is that when you think about the previous two trilogies,
yeah,
they all began on Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of the third trilogy beginning on Tatooine as well.
It's like, at some point, it's the core of this mythology. Like, I mean, it just is Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, if you were to say Star Wars is one planet, it would be Tatooine.
Yeah. Also, like, just so everyone knows, we're going to be talking about some theories about what could happen in this movie. So none of this is confirmed fact, but this is just our own, like, thoughts.
Conjecture.
Conjecture, yes. This makes me think that possibly... If we do begin here, I could see Luke living here, kind of doing the Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. We've already seen him with the beard.
We have seen him with the beard. And what's interesting, I guess we'll talk about this a little bit later, whenever another scene shows up, if he has a Padawan,
mm-hmm,
and that potentially might be Han and Leia's daughter, then that would be interesting if they both kind of were training and living upon Tatooine.
Correct. I could totally see that happening.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
So.
Press play again. We're looking at the sands, and the voiceover says, there's been an awakening. Have you felt it? And then we see John Boyega.
Yep. Popping up, dude. It was weird. Like, okay, so my experience whenever I watched this, it was... it was so surprised whenever the orchestra hits.
Yes.
And it's like, boom. And so it's like, it was like, what is this? And John Boyega, like, he just sells me on the fear. Cause it's like, it strikes this fear into you whenever the orchestra goes and makes you jump. And dude, like, he's just like, he's panicked out in this,
oh, yeah,
desert.
Like, something's going on.
Yeah, dude. Something is like either hunting him or like there's something going on.
You almost hear what you think is like a probe droid sound behind him.
Yeah. It's like, or like a, or some sort of computerized something. But yeah, it sounds like a probe droid for sure.
There's something out of frame that we're not seeing.
Yes, yeah, something he's looking for in this desert.
Or he's running from.
Running from, yeah. Yes. So it's, and he's in this stormtrooper outfit. So yeah. I'm wondering, like, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he pretending to be a stormtrooper like Luke and Han did back in episode 4?
Yeah. Yeah. He could be any of that. He could be like, he could be a stormtrooper who is no longer, he's gone AWOL. He could be like someone who's undercover. You're right. Any of this.
So I also love the look of like some of the black things, like the black space of the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
It's got this nice clean look to it. It looks more, put together, because a lot of times, like in the original series, they would look like they just like slapped on this plastic kind of loose armor on
right.
top of people that it didn't really fit.
Yeah,
but it is very form fitting, very slimming. It's
yeah.
got the slimming.
Exactly. It looks good. I really like the redesign. You're like you said, it's a lot cleaner. Kind of has that Apple look to it.
Yeah,
maybe
it's
Steve
like,
Jobs designed this.
I can see like them coming out on a stage with a yeah. black curtain and unveiling the new stormtrooper outfit.
Yes, the new smart trooper.
Let me introduce you to
the eye trooper.
The eye trooper. Oh man, the eye storm.
Yes, I don't know what that would be.
I don't know what that would be either.
All right, let's proceed.
Sounds like an X-Men character.
It does, actually.
And then We see a droid. Next thing we see is a droid.
Yeah, we see this cool droid, like, with this ball underneath him, like, going, like, I guess there's, what's crazy is, that, like, the ball is rotating and the head is just kind of floating there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's possibly one of the cutest droids because his head is, like, bobbing up and down.
Yep.
And he, like, does this cool beep sound.
He's making these weird cool beeps, kind of reminiscent of R2-D2, but not exactly like that.
Yeah.
In the background.
Yeah, we have these pod racers.
Yeah, we have, like, there's a big pod racer engine back there. It looks like there's an actual, like, pod racer main, whatever you would call the actual, like,
the place cab. Where
you sit. Yeah, the cab.
I don't know.
The carriage. I don't know. over here on the left. And so, you know, like, there's a couple double meanings, I think. You know, like, there's, okay, like, this is definitely Tatooine. It's a cool callback to the pod racers. Like, they look kind of like they're in disrepair. Maybe it's J.J. Abrams being like, those old movies are dead. They're back there. And,
or maybe he's saying there's a pod racing scene in my new movie.
Saying that at all. I hope he's not. Let's leave that where it is.
The funny thing about, like, the authenticity with which, like, because if this was Tatooine, seeing, like, the wreckage of a pod racer, it's like it builds this authenticity of, like, even in these shots where, like, just in the background of these shots, right. They've thought about this.
Well, you think about, okay, let's take a step back and think about, like, the economy on Tatooine was tied so much to the huts.
Mm-hmm.
And the pod racing was tied to the huts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Jabba's death, what has that done to the economy on Tatooine? What has it done to everything else on Tatooine? You know, obviously, it looks like the pod racing has kind of fallen by the wayside. Does that mean, you know, like, the economy kind of fell out? You know, like, you know, what's happened to this world?
Right. And if there was maybe another hut that kind of took over and it's like maybe he's running into the ground. I mean, it's like you said, it's like you just don't know what's going on here. But by seeing the dead pod racer in the back, or at least being repaired in the back, because, like, we don't even know if there was pod racing during the original trilogy, like during episode 4, 5, 6.
Right.
Like, what happened to the economy at that point as well?
Right.
Because we didn't see that in there. But I guess we've basically devolved into, you know, maybe a some sort of an imperialistic type of a reign on Tatooine, like where maybe we have a monarch and that sort of thing. So
right. Was there a voice over here? I can't remember. No, there wasn't.
It was
right
just
there.
The beeps and the bloops.
And then we see the stormtroopers again, the new stormtrooper outfits. And it's like, what I love about this scene is, like, it's flashing and it's like almost like a horror movie.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like it's got this green lighting and it almost looks like they're about to dive bomb like Godzilla or something like that in this thing. It's like, do yes. they jump out of this on top of a gigantic creature?
Yeah.
Has the Sarlacc jumped out of its pit?
Yeah.
I mean, like, this could be amazing.
I love the new design on the helmets. Like, it's very reminiscent of the helmets from the original trilogy, but they've got kind of got this, like, weird kind of smile, this very, like, creepy kind of, like see how the mouthpiece goes up into the eyes? Mm. Like, this weird kind of creepy smile now.
It's almost more aquatic, if you will, like, where it looks more like a fish or something. Like, it's got,
it
like, little gills or, like, a little bit of extra weight around the collar,
yeah.
maybe?
To me,
around
it, your jawline. It makes it look a little more just macabre, you know? It looks really, really creepy.
Yeah.
It almost like the bay door just drop. It looks like they're about to go out into, like, almost looks like some place on Tatooine. It looks like it could be, like, a moisture, what do they call those things?
Moisture farm?
The moisture farm. And, like, you kind of see a tower and some lights and maybe the outline. It's either that, like, see there's a light right there and a kind of a, yeah, it's really hard to see. But it looks like it could be, you know, sand right there and it could be Tatooine.
So, I mean, like, that would be, if that was on Tatooine, the first three shots of this thing take place maybe on Tatooine, potentially.
Well, I think the fourth shot, because here we have Daisy Ridley, who is possibly playing Han and Leia's daughter.
It's heavily rumored.
Right. None of this is confirmed. Like I said, a lot of this is all conjecture based on what we're seeing.
But she's, like, on Tatooine trying to start up this gigantic thing. It looks almost like the speeder from the original trilogy.
It's like a slower, bulkier speeder.
Yeah, it's really... And it's got this nice low sound to it. I loved the sound design on this specific part because it just... You could feel it, you know?
Yeah. I want to call out, what is that strapped to... If you go back a little bit, strapped to the side of the speeder. It almost looks like the hilt and handle of a lightsaber, but it's on this, like, larger stick. You know, does she have, like, this makeshift lightsaber with a big, huge stick? Is it, like, a staff, maybe? Is it...
like, something to train with, maybe?
Maybe it's, like, a modification of something that, like, Darth Maul had?
Or maybe it's a, I mean, it could be something like what the sand people carry around. That's like true. It could be something like that, like some sort of a updated device like that. Maybe she's stealing this bike. You don't really know what's going on here.
No, you don't. Not at all.
But she's obviously wanting to get away from something because she keeps looking like over her shoulder at one point. So yeah. It's, and she drives off into the distance. And what is that out in the distance that you see out there? Like, it's just...
It looks just like either, let's go forward a little bit. It looks kind of like either some town or some kind of buildings. Like, kind of looks like a warehouse. It's not a town necessarily, I don't think, unless that building that's out there kind of in the air is much larger than it appears.
So it's like a outpost or a settlement of some sort almost, you know, maybe even just a moisture farm that looks different than we're used to, not the round huts.
There's some things poking up in the distance that could be moisture farms. There's also like if you kind of look over to the left, I don't think that's a mountain. I think that might be a larger building. Gotcha. So we could be on the edge of town or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure. As we move forward, this is my favorite scene in the entire trailer. Like, we see these X-Wing fighters, and it's a shot from inside the cab like you would get in the original trilogy whenever you're seeing Luke and Wedge fly the X-Wings and attack the Death Star.
Dude, awesome. And I love, he's so serious, and it's like this calls back to a lot, like whenever they're attacking that Death Star, about how serious they would look. The revealing thing about this to me was we're in the cab and it's like, okay, that's kind of expected that you're going to be flying around in something, you know, but then you pull back and they're on a planet in X-Wing fighters, which we never really saw in any of the movies.
No, like, and they're really low on the water. Like they're trying to avoid radar or avoid detection somehow. They're assaulting something for sure. Like, it's not natural for ships like this to fly low because they use more fuel the lower you are to the ground, the more gravity there is.
Well, even to the point where on Hoth, we didn't even see in like the Battle of Hoth, we didn't see X-Wing fighters necessarily taking on the, did we?
No, we saw those like, I forget what they're called, the actual model number.
Right.
Star Wars geeks are gonna hate me,
but like the snow speeders,
yeah, that would take out the AT-AT walkers and things like that.
I mean, it's weird to see X-wing fighters in the atmosphere of any planet.
Yeah,
but it looks awesome.
It looks like you've got a couple of blue TIE fighter, or not TIE fighters, X-wing fighters, and like a red one back there. So maybe it's Red Squadron and Blue Squadron. We think that the X-wing guy looks like Oscar Isaac. Looks like that's who that is.
It's interesting that this is not Tatooine. Like, clearly this has water, and it has like mountains with steam, and it almost looks like the setting could be something out of like a Tolkien, you know, thing. Yeah. It almost looks like it's Middle Earth.
Correct. I mean, those mountains, like the whole scene, and this is the first lens flare that we see is over off to the upper right there. I mean, he's got to sneak him in there. It's J.J. Abrams after all.
I mean, you got to have a lens flare.
Yeah. Is there voiceover at this point?
Yes.
No, it's still like just this guy.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So we see this hooded figure in the middle of the woods.
A frozen forest.
A frozen forest.
It looks like the Forbidden Forest on Harry Potter.
It does, actually.
He's going to be shopping around.
We do have a voiceover at this point. What's he saying right here?
I think he says the dark side.
Yes, the dark side.
Yep.
And you see this guy. Yep. He stumbles out of the darkness. He's got this crazy, like, cloak that is really torn, and he kind of looks like he's either a weathered traveler or
he's like stumbling through this forest like he doesn't even care. Like, it's like true. He's not sneaking anywhere, he's not being delicate about it, and it's like he's definitely like dangerous here.
Then he lights up this amazing looking lightsaber with
crazy
like hand guards on it. It looks super medieval. It's like a medieval sword.
What's interesting about like the look of it is that it looks different than normal lightsabers. It looks like it's not really like stable. Mm-hmm. The blade isn't. Mm-hmm. And like even like to the point where it almost looks like flames out at the tips of these things.
It does.
And that's weird. That's interesting.
You see like this arc kind of lightning going along the blade. Mm-hmm. Like it's, and so the theory behind the lightsabers are like they're powered by these crystals. Mm-hmm. And the better quality crystal and more pure the crystal, the different color of light, and the actually, more stable they are.
In the Clone Wars, they actually show Padawans going out and getting their crystals. And so basically, you know, they, you go out and find your crystal via the Force. Like you find the right mm-hmm. one for you, the one that matches your personality, the one that matches like, and so that's why like some blades are different colors mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. And so you wonder if this guy maybe built his own, where did he find his crystal? Mm-hmm. What kind of a person is led to a crystal that does this to a lightsaber.
Right.
And like those types of things. You could also maybe make conjecture that this is an older model lightsaber, mm-hmm. that maybe this person found a lightsaber mm-hmm. From back in the old times before they'd refined the design, mm-hmm. which would be a long time before we've ever seen in any mm-hmm. movie. So it also, I was wondering if potentially this was an old Sith, because mm-hmm. The Sith were like rumored to live for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years or whatever in the old times. And so could this be a old Sith awakening?
Yes.
Anyway, awakening, and this is his lightsaber. So this yeah. is a Sith from the old days yeah. and a, you know, his lightsaber from the old days.
Well, like this is either Adam Driver or Andy Serkis. So like the voiceover is Andy Serkis, and it kind of like sounds like he could be maybe the Sith Master, mm-hmm. and Adam Driver could be the I guess the apprentice.
Yes,
in that case, and this could be either one of them. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
Yeah,
and we won't know. But he looks super cool, and I can't wait to see him fight.
I can't wait for this dude. Yeah. So awesome. All right, and then the next shot is complete so blackness.
He said the darkness.
Yes, the darkness, dark side. The dark side.
And the light.
And the light. And then we explode into my favorite sequence of this thing.
Yes, the Millennium Falcon is back. He does this like crazy spin move. We're on the surface of Tatooine again, and TIE Fighters.
Dude, so like all of the battles in this teaser have taken place in the atmospheres of planets.
That's what's crazy. Like, this is a movie called Star Wars, mm-hmm. and we saw no space.
Well, that's also, like, it harkens back to some of the battles of, like, the Clone Wars, where they would be on a planet and be, you know, basically trying to take regions and take planets. And so they would have all these battles within the atmospheres of planets and obviously taking place there and above. So yeah. It's like, what's going on here? Are we stomping out the last remains of the Empire, mm-hmm. or is this, you know, I don't know, you don't know, because it's just all taking place. There's something that you pointed out about this this shot, the one with the Millennium Falcon, to me, and said that it's framed interestingly, like as a like widescreen framing, there are portions of it that are out of shot,
yeah,
and that could be like an artistic choice, but we do know that some of this movie don't we know that some of this movie has some IMAX footage?
I don't remember if that was a rumor, if that was a for sure thing, but it does look like this could possibly be shot. Because look at the frame right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got Millennium Falcon's halfway out of the frame.
Yeah.
And it goes out of frame several times there. And I don't know if that's just to show, like, basically the violence and the movement of it. You know, the camera's having a hard time keeping up. Like, you know, like, it goes out of frame there twice, and then it... But if it was shot on full-frame IMAX film, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. It would be incredible.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting to note that on that whole sequence, it's being that jerky or whatever and that upside down and stuff. Mm-hmm. We never have seen anything that is that intense from Star Wars before. Like, well, in the prequels, episode 2, I think, maybe it's the beginning of episode 3, mm-hmm. they have this epic battle and they're like flipping around in you know, this battle. And that's about the most roller coastery that we get. But basically the camera is pretty stable and yeah. it's just the ships that are doing a lot of flipping around. But this one, it's like a follow shot on the Millennium Falcon and mm-hmm. it's so intense, mm-hmm. just exciting to watch.
Yeah, the movement really, really helps. And you know, we see a couple other lens flares in that shot whenever the sun comes into frame So like it's not super prominent, but it's there for sure, and I'm super excited. So the big question that I have, you know, coming out of this, I have several questions, but so what's happened to in the 30 years? You know, like mm-hmm. it's obviously the Empire is still there, or like the stormtroopers. Maybe you know, I wouldn't see the rebellion. And whatever they're setting up after the rebellion, I wouldn't see them using the stormtroopers. You know, like you would think that they would destroy all vestiges of the Empire.
Maybe, But it, then again, the Empire just utilized what was remaining from the Republic before.
That's true. I just don't, you know, like, this is my thing, you know, yes, they took out that Death Star, and they took out the Emperor, and they took out Darth Vader, but that doesn't mean that all the other generals in the Empire, you know, who have Star Destroyers, and they have these fleets, that they're just going to, like, lay down their guns and do what? Give it to the Rebels? Like, the Rebels are still a really small force. Like, they barely had enough to take down the Death Star, you know?
Right.
So, like, are they still trying to take over, like, areas of space from the Empire?
30 years is a long time.
It is.
To be doing something like that, or to be trying to get enough power or maybe political prestige to do that. It's really weird because, I mean, obviously, there's still definitely two factions to this thing, and it's definitely still the ones we know, because you've got the TIE fighters and the
X-wings.
X-wings.
Yeah.
So it's like it's the two sides that you know, but maybe they've flipped sides in some way. Like maybe some of the rebels have taken over portions of the Empire, and so maybe they're the ones maybe not the ones in the TIE fighters, but they're the ones in the stormtrooper outfits. I don't know. It's like if that technology exists, like where you have just this armor laying around, you would still use it, like because you're the rebels. You would have to use it if you just encountered, you know, a cache of something. So it's like we don't really know who owns this armor and who owns the weapons, that sort of thing. But
yeah, I mean, you wouldn't necessarily use it. You know, say there's tracking devices in the armor or something like that. You know, you don't want to. I don't know. You know, like you also don't want to be mistaken, you know, as the enemy by your own troops.
That's
you know,
true.
So, like, there are a lot of reasons for not using the Stormtrooper outfits as well.
Yeah.
The an interesting design thing about that last shot with the Millennium Falcon, the satellite dish on the top has been replaced. It's no longer a round satellite dish. It's more of a more practical kind of rectangular shape.
Well, it got knocked off in the
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, yeah. It's also the venting is slightly different as well on the back of it, but
yeah.
There might be a practical purpose for that too.
They're obviously, you know, like, you know, Han was always making improvements and upgrades. And
well, it was also kind of like a ramshackle. Like if something goes bad or whatever, he just uses whatever he could use, you know, and so it was always this kind of a collage of sorts of the best types of gear and the best ship. So I bet you it still does the Kessel run in 8.5 parsecs or whatever it is.
I love the way that J.J. Abrams treats vehicles. You know, like you think about both of the new Star Trek movies, and you know, like we saw the Enterprise do like several, like it's underwater and it raises up and it comes out of hyperspace and spins around. Like he's gonna do some cool things with the ships in this. You know, whether it's the Millennium Falcon or we're obviously seeing that there, or the X-wings or an entire space station. Who knows?
It's interesting that while this looks very similar to the way like the original series looked, the Millennium Falcon, it almost looks like a model. You know, it almost has it has that striking detail that the models had back in the day. And so it's nice to see that. But he also adds a layer of atmospheric texture. So you like whenever the X-Wings are coming over the water, there's like this water spray coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so it's like, it's this, like you're looking through this natural thing that makes it even more realistic. Whereas the original series, they didn't necessarily have the means with which to do a lot of that. And then whenever you go and look at like George Lucas, whenever he went to the prequels, it just looks so like clean. And so like, even though they're on this dirty planet of Tatooine and there would be like a bunch of dust whipping up all over the silver ship, it just looks so pristine. And so it almost looks unbelievable.
Right.
In some of the prequel stuff.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see this return to realism and in fact, get it even more gritty into how this would interact with a lot of the atmospheres around you.
Yeah, I agree. Like it's, The amazing thing is it still looks and feels and sounds like Star Wars, and it's a completely different director. And I think that goes, you know, speaks to JJ's meticulous attention to detail, the fact that the people at Lucasfilm are still working on it. They pulled in a lot of the same cast and crew. You know, like another interesting thing about the trailer is the fact we didn't see any of Han, Leia, or Luke. You know,
Harrison Ford, R2-D2.
Carrie Fisher, or Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
we didn't see R2-D2 or C-3PO.
They chose to feature different actors and a different droid.
Yeah. I think they're setting up just to set people's expectations. Hey, this is the beginning chapter of this new Star Wars. Like, this is mm-hmm. not a continuation necessarily. It is, but it's not so much that. It's setting up the new generation. Like, it's the passing of the torch.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we didn't necessarily see all the actors in all three movies. You know, like, we could see maybe one, or, you know, like,
yeah.
What if Luke goes the way of Obi-Wan and becomes a ghost? Or what if something happens to Han? You know, he's pretty old, and, you know, who knows what could happen.
And it's weird to think of Star Wars and basically telling the next chapter without them, but it's nice to see, like, because they're in the film, we know that the roots and the history of Star Wars mm-hmm. is being handled well. Mm-hmm. And it's, like you said, the torch is being passed, but I don't necessarily mind if we don't have them as, like, the central aspect of this film, just as long as they're there. And as long as it's, like, it's staying true to those, you know, the fact that they were in it. It's like, what would be upsetting is if somebody wasn't in it, or, like, they weren't in this movie at all, and we're just, yeah. like, moving on as supposed to be Star Wars, and right. you know, but it's not staying true to the history of Star Wars.
Right.
But they seem to be handling it well, and I like the idea that we haven't seen them yet, because maybe we see them in a different reveal, maybe we see them in the next trailer, mm-hmm. or there were rumors that the next, like, the first official trailer will take place before
the Avengers,
yeah,
Avengers 2,
and iTunes has this listed as teaser one, so maybe mm-hmm. there's a second teaser as well before that happens. I don't yeah. know. It's maybe we have a completely different reveal for them planned before the movie, so we'll see.
Yeah. It looks great. I cannot wait. I watched it so many times.
Dude.
And it's literally, like, I don't think you can make a better teaser. I just crazily hit the mic. I don't think you can make a better teaser. You know, like, it serves the purpose of, like, introducing things, and it introduces more questions than answers. It's a mystery box in its own right. And I love it, dude. Like, it's the best trailer.
Dude, it's so interesting, because you go into it and I thought I knew what I was getting into mm-hmm. Before I watched it. Mm-hmm. But again, it's like whenever immediately from the beginning and they go for that jump, and you're immediately set on, like, edge, where your adrenaline is pumping because you jumped at the beginning because mm-hmm. he got you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you're just like, you're letting go. And then, like I said, the fear builds with Boyega, and it just continuously goes until that last roller coaster sequence of the Millennium Falcon. And I don't know, it's like, can you build excitement in a better way?
No. I think, like, and I just can't get that sound out of my mind where, like, you have the Millennium Falcon noise and the TIE fighters come tearing by and the theme comes in real loud.
Dude.
It's just like, what in the world?
It gives me
chills every time.
It was everything that I wanted it to be, but I didn't know I wanted it.
Yes.
So, I mean, because, like, we had conjecture, like, we had said that
I was wrong.
Yeah, we had said that, hey, maybe Luke shows up at the end and he turns yeah. on his lightsaber or whatever. But it's like, I don't, that would not have excited me nearly as much as seeing the Millennium Falcon and this amazing action, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, JJ.
Well done, man.
Well done, sir.
Well, that's it for this week. We hope you have enjoyed this week's podcast. You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com. We will have links to all these videos and things up there. You can also listen to our Flash on Target and Arrow on Target podcast. We review each episode of the CW's The Flash and Arrow every single week. Those are on iTunes and the website as well. You can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
And JohnWright777.
And always online at stayontargetpodcast.com. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.